B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
It's esoteric. Let's start with the ugly guy first. First up, Tony Mazz. You look better in a goalie mask. I'm glad I hear you and I see you with your homely ass. You a Yankees fan, man, that disturbs me. Your words are worth less than a Zolak jersey.
I'm right there with you.
Sup, Zo? I guess you kinda went pro. You got a show, cause every game in the 90s you had front row. And Mark Bertrand Beetle, I saw it firsthand. Donuts, he all about dunking like a Spurs fan. Wallach, he ain't smart, reading stats on laptops. Looking like an eagle, he could be the BC mascot. Cut the mic on Michael Felger, Brighton Ernie kid. I'm a son of kind of like Michael Hurley did. Your hot takes are kind of cold instead. Jimmy Hayes had you shaking in your Nantucket Reds. Is it Big Jim Murray or Bald Jim Murray? Hat always on his dome. He's unknown like Adam Jones. Piece of TNR. I'ma let him slide because I got nothing written. Just kidding. Oh, Rich, and get Fred out the way because today I got to use my rap AK and spray. Rich certainly, but geek needing confidence. Always on Twitter, man. Retweeting compliments. Yeah, I heard about your league leading dominance, but when I'm in the car, man, it doesn't reach Providence. I know you do your best to entertain, but get a brain. You're as funny as Kevin James, Rich. The Freddie T, I don't got a lot for you, except maybe that your wife is too hot for you. The way that you be dressing, man, that is what not to do. Looking like a dingbat, sounding like a pink cat. I'm saying that everybody plays the fool. That's appropriate for Fred at the JCC pool. Catch him on Comcast, looking half homeless. A legend in his own mind, like Johnny Gomes is.
Oh, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are out and about, but there you have it. John Wallach in the town fire. What is it?
Town fair tire.
Yeah.
Now, John, I've seen that you have a Red Sox face mask.
Yes. Yes, a Red Sox mask. Correct.
Okay, so that has... when did you purchase that?
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
All right, so when you enter the building, are you now required to wear a face mask?
Yes.
Okay, and then when can you take it off?
When you get into the studio, you're supposed to have the face mask on in all common areas.
Okay, and so everyone's walking around with face masks on?
Yep. For instance, Dan, when he comes from the other room into this room, will wear the face mask for that 10-second trip.
Yeah, interesting. And that is the mode of protection.
Yes.
Yes, if you go to the kitchen or the little area off to the side there, Fred, to get coffee or water or something like that, you are required to wear a mask. Go to the bathroom?
Yep.
Wear your mask.
You have to wear a mask.
Yes.
Only two people in the bathroom at a time, so you better knock.
Okay.
Well, Fred waits till it's empty anyway. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, no, I'm not using the upstairs bathroom.
Right, you can just sense the heat to whether or not someone is taking care of business. There's like, you put your hand over it as if you're like warming it to a fire before you touch the handle.
Okay, heat indicator on the door now.
I flew on Sunday and it wasn't that weird. And you have to wear a mask on the plane, but people get sick of the masks.
Yes.
I'll tell you that is that when people were at baggage claim and whatnot, they were not wearing masks. I did. I had my sweet mask, which, by the way, is a lot of fun to walk in. There's nothing like having to walk a long distance with a mask on to really make you feel like you're suffocating.
I tweeted out a photo yesterday, Fred, of if you've ever really wanted to put in perspective how big a head Joe Murray has. There's a photo of him wearing his mask, and it looks like a Band-Aid on an anvil, as I was saying yesterday.
He looks like Bane from the Batman movies is what he looks like.
No, because Bane, the mask covers up half his face.
No, but I mean, like that's the thing. He's just a mammoth head. He told us yesterday he has a size 8 head. And the mask only barely covers his mouth.
I mean, it's like, you know, when people wear a mask, it goes kind of like down to their chin and yeah, most of the yes. time kind of curls under their chin. Right. There's a whole lot of, like, face left after the mask is done at the bottom. Like, I mean, his head, and it's not like a neck or anything. It's like he's just got a huge head.
And the mask is kind of like this rectangular, cardboardish type of thing. It's really something.
I was saying yesterday, it looks as if, like, when you get takeout from a restaurant. Like, I was thinking it was like a Maggiano's when you got extra, you know, pasta. And you put one of the, and he just basically looks like he strapped one of those things to his face. So, I mean, one of the problems of having a big head right now is that most masks are too tiny to do the trick. So you got to go with the industrial grade size.
Yeah, there is also a lot of not covering the nose with the masks.
Then it doesn't work. You know, you can't really.
Right. That's a big thing going on right now is that the masks do not cover the nose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Tennessee, obviously, for like a month. And I dined out once by myself. I was the only person in the restaurant, and the staff was wearing masks. I just wanted to do it one time before I came back here, and was, you know, you couldn't do it. And the mask not covering the nose, the mask thing. The only time I see them now is the protests. But I have only been back for a day, so we'll see.
Well, they're everywhere here still. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, it's like you go out and they're everywhere. As a matter of fact, it's almost weird now not to have one. At least in Massachusetts,
you'll get criticized if people spot you without one.
Yeah,
that happened to me. I was telling Rich yesterday that happened to me over the weekend.
But that was like ridiculous because you were on the other side of the street
of course
walking
it was.
Your dog, which, you know, that's not a case. You know, you're not amongst tons of people. Like, that's not the...
No, but I mean, the fact that I didn't have one offended... Fred, I was walking. I have a new puppy, so I was walking her through the neighborhood. And across the street from me, and I didn't have a mask on because no one is near me. It's an empty street. And an older woman was walking the other direction with her mask on and saw me without one. And picked her hands up, rolled the mask down, and said, "Where's your mask?" And I said, "Well, there's no one around me. I can socially distance." And just paraphrasing what she said back to me, she said, "You're risking lives," and hobbled off in the other direction.
Of course you are. That's exactly what you're doing. You're out to kill
everyone.
I
was too stunned. I'm like, okay. I just kept walking. I mean,
well,
what the hell?
Well, listen, I feel bad because if she's older than you, then she's obviously way in the devil.
Well, that's she's right. So, I mean, well into Social Security, yes.
I mean, that's a gilf. Which, you know, John is very into.
Actually, sounds more like a gilf. If it's older than John.
Yeah, it's the next level north. Yeah,
great grand gilf.
Gilf.
Very rare. The most rarest of treasures in the porn community.
Yeah.
Sure. But that's wild because you said you ate inside of a restaurant. And, like, I don't know if anybody else, like, in the studio is like, what is that like? Yeah. Because, I mean, yesterday was the first day, you know, this was phase two started yesterday. And yesterday was the first day you could eat outside at a restaurant here. And I saw it all over the place. I mean, all the patios are now open and they're full. I mean, it was gorgeous yesterday. So that's weird. Like, what was it like? Because are people eating in mass in restaurants in Tennessee, or is it still spaced out where four tables?
It's really spaced out. Okay. And they have it everything 6 feet away. But it was a clubhouse at a golf place. And so I deliberately went there I wanted to eat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Before I came back here, and who knows when that's going to happen, where you're going to be able to eat in a restaurant here.
Maybe in 2 weeks, they're saying. I mean, if the numbers continue to go in the direction that they are, and obviously there's indicators that maybe that won't happen, but right now things are looking good in Massachusetts, and I think that it's inside the restaurants is part of phase two. As a matter of fact, that would happen later on this month if everything goes according to plan. And this is kind of a, I think, a 1 to 2 week thing. The outdoor thing. Because, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. I mean, what a pain in the butt it is for... Because think about the North End. The North End, they can't shut down that road because you know, they have
Street.
To have... There's, yeah, Hanover Street. You've got the fire department right down the road. They have to keep that open. So if you're one of those places, there's no room for you to put a patio if you didn't already have one. There's right. certain places that did have this. And also, you know, I saw a news report this morning. You know, at Patriot Place, there's plenty of sidewalk space there where some of these places can, mm-hmm. you know, make their own. But as I said, if you're in like a little town like that, and I think you still even have to get a permit from the city, like approval from the governor in order for you to serve people outside, despite that being all you can do if you want to open your restaurant right now. So, I mean, it's weird and it's tough. So they're hoping that this is a very short-lived, let's get you inside, because we were talking about what if it starts raining? You can't run inside. You're just screwed if you don't have right. a tent. So, yeah, this is temporary, and it sounds like at some point – I'm thinking it's within the next 2 weeks. And, Dan, I don't know if you can clarify that for me, but I know it's part of phase two, which is supposed to last no more than 3 weeks, that you're going to be able to eat inside.
They're hoping to do that. Yeah, and again, with the concessions of, you know, percentage capacity and stuff like that. But it's up to the governor to figure, you know, whether or not we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that he's made a couple mistakes. But nonetheless, yes, in Tennessee... For the month, because I didn't really go anywhere, I wore a mask if I went in somewhere, but that was not very often. So it was mask-free for several weeks. Mask-free. Because when you're rolling, you know, when you're running free on a jet ski, I mean, you can't be masked. You know what I'm saying? Is that when you're running free on a jet ski, I mean, that's just the open air. That's just you in the open air having some fun. And that's what needed to happen. All right, Rich, what's going on? What are we going to talk about?
Let's once again get to a tale of two leagues. One, everything's going in the right direction, and the other one's just crapping all over the floor.
God.
All right, so we will... it doesn't take a lot of guessing to figure out which is which, but we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriated.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Five of Sports Hub, it is Toucher. Oh, okay, good. All right.
We're great. Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, while all is happy in NBA land, Major League Baseball continues to punch themselves in the junk, with yesterday being another lesson in futility between the players and the owners. And
take me out to the ball.
We're going
to
talk to you today at 7:20. Check in on you. Make sure you're doing all right. You'll be okay, big buddy.
I don't know how he's going to put a positive spin on things. Well, I mean, he's Mr. Happy Guy, but even this, I can't imagine how you spin this positively in any way, shape, or form.
Well,
he's going to have packed it in. This is just going to be him shaking his head and going, what can I do?
Well, it's going to be an interesting break at 7:20 when we have him on. But last we heard, the owner's, quote, final offer was 50 games, full pay per game, take it or leave it. The players said nope, and that was that. Well, looky here, the owners have another offer. Yesterday they said, we may have one more proposal, so here goes. How about a 76-game season, and we'll pay you 75% of what your normal salaries would be. On top of that, there'd be some revenue sharing that you'd have to do in the postseason. And, of course, the players once again said hell no. Evan Jurelik said yesterday that the Players Association thinks the latest offer from the league is worse than the previous one, as too much hinges on a postseason being played. Andrew McCutchen tweeted, LOL. Tucker Barnhart tweeted, ha. And Travis Shaw tweeted a gif of Judge Judy rolling her eyes, because that's what we do nowadays. The owners also asked the players to respond to the league's proposal by tomorrow, because with each day that passes without an official agreement.
I don't think they need until tomorrow. I think they've pretty much made up their minds already.
I mean, the longer this goes, the less people are going to even care. Here is Tom Verducci on the entire thing.
If there is no baseball, it's not because there was this enormous concern about the protocols and the health issues. It's strictly about money. On the players' side, I can tell you this. The players now have found a reason to be galvanized like I have not seen in years. This is not about pensions or service time or some esoteric CBA issue. Purely about taking a pay cut. They understand it. They can rally around it. And that, I think that's why that they're dug in.
So we played that promo with Tony before he came on, and he's right. I mean, if you just break down the numbers, they're just moving the numbers around. Like, mm-hmm. to take the amount of money that you would pay the guys to do 50 games at full price or 75 at 75% is almost exactly the same.
About $1.5 billion, and they're dressing it up in four or five different ways, but it still doesn't top $1.5 billion. And in this proposal, the $1.5 billion isn't even guaranteed.
Yeah, so it is technically worse. And, you know, there was this article I was talking about yesterday, Fred, where Jeff Passan, you know, who went so nerdy. Like, it was all math-based, and he broke down. And you know what? To be quite honest, the bottom line of the article was interesting. It took a lot of garbage to get there, but it was that these teams are fighting over what is the equivalent of $10 million per team. And he said that is, you know, like having, it's like squabbling over the amount of a fourth starter in a rotation. And when you look at it that way, this all seems so stupid that this is going down this way, and that the owners continue to just dig their heels in the sand. And the new proposal also includes this. The one thing that made it a little bit different is a 16-team postseason. Also, this is something that I think the players have been asking for, so they're trying to make it seem like this is a concession. But this also seems like if you didn't do this, it would be unbelievably irresponsible. But in the provision that they threw in there was that, okay, we'll allow it so that high-risk individuals can opt out and still receive their pay, whereas players who are not deemed high-risk, hey, you can opt out too, but you're not getting paid.
Does more playoff games mean more revenue? Or is the play that's one thing I couldn't figure out. I mean, it makes sense for the owners. Well, you know, sure, we'll have 16 teams in. One plays 8, 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. And you have extra playoff games. Do the networks pay on a per-game basis, or is it just one flat rate?
I mean, that's a good question, and that's something that I have not seen an answer to. I mean, common sense would think that you would be getting paid more for more games.
Right.
But
yeah,
how many
no wonder the owners want more teams in. I mean, it's more money for them.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And so I don't think that the players are getting paid more. You're right. I think that it's a worse deal than the one that was proposed before it. So, I mean, I don't know when this is going to get taken care of, but you're right. It has galvanized the players. Now it's almost like they are now more than ever hell-bent on getting their way, and the owners have really done nothing to give them any more money than that $1.5 billion. I mean, they've done nothing ever since that first proposal. As a matter of fact, it's only gotten worse. So I don't know if you're even going to have baseball or what's going to end up happening. So
I'm just fascinated know that with Jeff Passan again. The backdrop of his bookshelves, that he just has those albums. Oh, every time I look at Jeff Passan, I'm looking at him right now. Enter the 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang.
Weezer
Evil Empire.
Yeah, he's got OK Computer by Radio. I got to memorize by now. He's got Rage Against the Machine, Evil Empire, Dark Side of the Moon.
Hey. And by the way, that's no accident. I mean, he's just like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to express myself. I ain't your average baseball kid. You know, I like several classic albums, even the controversial Pinkerton album, one that Rivers Cuomo for years would not play live. And he has it right there.
I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's an overrated album. But that's just me, because most people love it. But I will say that there's a great Twitter account. Have you seen that one that goes and it rates television personalities' bookshelves?
No.
Oh, it's right? It's fantastic. It like gives them on a scale of like 1 to 10, and like and it will analyze all the things that are on it and whether they're even trying.
Well,
oh, it's
Passon.
Great. I gotta find it. It's
Passon has those like fake books. You know, like, you know, the decorative books, like my parents have them too, like the Odyssey and stuff. And you're like, you're not reading that. And but they're in those like leather bound. So he's got those. So, I mean, you know, on one shelf, you're saying this guy's a literary nut. And then he's got underneath it just rock and roll.
Okay. It's Room Raider. At rate my Skype room. At rate my Skype room.
Okay.
And it's all these different people who are on TV, and like, and it gives them a scale from like 1 to 10. And let me see if I can maybe see if they got Passon on here. But some of these is just like, huh? There's like one guy who was on MSNBC. And it's nothing but this sad plant in the background. It says hostage video with nice long stemmed plant. 3 out of 10. And then it's got one guy represent. It's a representative from Arizona, Representative Andy Briggs. And he's got a bookshelf with like this really cheesy like acoustic guitar on the wall. It says formal looking book setup plus guitar. Not buying it. One of these things doesn't fit with the pasty guy in the suit. 3 out of 10. So I got to go through here and see if
this is great.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, oh,
there's one guy who's like looking down real creepy. By the way, if you ever do like one of these like Skype videos and it's from the bottom up, you always look like a sexual predator. Always. And it says, oh dear, someone get him a stack of books to raise the camera, point in another direction, and get him some eyebrow trimmers. 3 out of 10.
So 3 seems to be the bottom.
Yeah, 3 is pretty bad. I haven't seen a 1. And then there's like, hey, cool art statues, textiles, art and personal, well lit, 8 out of 10. So they're not always negative. Then there's one guy who's there's one dude who's like sitting in like a barn type thing with a bunch of like sweet guitars on the wall and like a Marshall cabinet, and it says, Visa, MasterCard charge about 2%, or something like that. Like, he basically, like, bought all of it just to be on TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's letting you know, like, look at, I got the Marshall stack right here.
So
I'm gonna let this baby loose at some point.
They got Bill Cowher. It says, low key, if I had one, it has like, you know, one Super Bowl trophy. It goes, low key, if I had one of them trophies, I'd probably build a cabinet around it and raise the camera. 6 out of 10. By the way, he keeps his Super Bowl trophy just like on his, like on his dresser. Like, he can get knocked around.
There is a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that I've seen from professional football that very laissez-faire with the way that they display the Super Bowl trophies.
Yeah,
but I have, and the thing that's funny about Passon is I don't recall ever seeing someone store a CD cover first. Like, you know, like they're always lined up on the side.
Right, so you don't see the face of them, right?
Right, right, right. Like,
you see the spine.
The spine, yeah. Like not the cover.
Sure.
But he's certainly proud of them. I mean, he wants you to know.
Don't let the glasses fool you. Yeah.
He just wants you to know he's like Evil Empire by Rage.
I'm telling you, if I ever like knew that I had to do, you know, a month's worth of live shots, you know, for television, like a regular thing,
yeah,
I would buy $300 worth of Dungeons and Dragons books. and my whole bookshelf would just
Or you could just call me. I'll send them to you.
That's right. Just you. It would be Rush albums and Dungeon Masters guides.
I can help.
I would have stack after stack of Hustlers. Just the spines of Hustlers.
And like really cheap, like we.
We or, God, I can't remember the other ones.
Just go to like the convenience store that's almost out of business that's down the street and just buy their whole collection of unbought magazines from behind the counter and just throw them up there. You've never heard of before, except in that convenience store.
See, I think that you get a Hustlers throughout, and you put them in order of date.
Well, yes, NBC Sports Boston, I'm ready for my live shot.
Yes, and it wouldn't be obvious. It would be something that someone had to like look and go, "What is all that stuff?" Oh, they're Hustlers in chronological order.
Or, Or what if you just did like the serial killer look? You just bought like 1,000 dictionaries. And it was just the dictionary.
Well, that's kind of what Passan has going on. He's got the, like, the, again, those decorative books. Like Ulysses and stuff, like he's never read.
We have a listener. A listener says Encyclopedia Britannica, nothing but Encyclopedia Britannica.
Or what if you just like pick one random celebrity's autobiography or autobiography and just bought like 1,000 copies of it?
You're like Burt Reynolds' biography,
right? Or like, you know, Debbie Gibson or Miley Cyrus or something, yeah. And it'd just be 1,000 of those, mind you. Hey, what's wrong? There you go.
I can't because I can't even look at Passan. Because over his left shoulder is that Evil Empire album.
Yep.
Every time. I've never seen anyone display a record as a CD as art. I don't know. It's very, it's something to contemplate. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
All right, let's get to a league that's doing it right. And to be quite honest, you should be excited as a Celtics fan. The NBA, some more details came out about how this whole thing is going to shake out. We'll get to that.
All right, we'll have that right after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, how about that? Real videos of real Celtics players working out in a real practice facility hit the internet yesterday. Jason Tatum and his canter, Taco Fall, and a mustache-clad Gordon Hayward amongst the players returning to the Arbox Center in preparation for this upcoming postseason. Yes, I said upcoming postseason, and I can't say it enough. Get your crap together, every other league. Well, except the MLS. Soccer, you're doing A-OK as well, but we'll just mention that once today. The only bad news we got yesterday was that our dreams of an all-drug postseason may have been short-lived. When reports this weekend came out that the players wouldn't be tested for drugs during the postseason, images of a completely jacked Kelly Olynyk immediately came to mind. But unfortunately, the league clarified their stance yesterday and said that unfortunately PEDs would be tested, but recreational drugs would not. So the players can keep smoking that green and fear no consequences. Well, probably because, number one, they're going to be temporarily losing player two anyway from the coronavirus testing, so you don't want to lose someone for a dumb reason like weed, and number two, testing for weed in sports is stupid in the first place. So,
yeah, but Olynyk still might be jacked. I think that you're giving him a little bit too you're downplaying him a little bit. I mean,
you could
I think
be right.
I think Olynyk au naturel is what he has going on. I mean, he's very vascular.
Well,
and that just shows you that he's cut some weight.
It's the city that does it to you. You move to the land of Pitbull, and all of a sudden, you know, you're wearing tank tops, and you want to show off the guns. So.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to walk around Miami Beach, what are you going to do? You're not going to be sexy? I mean, that's all you got to do. Come on.
Well, now we have a slightly better look at the league schedule as well. Players currently living outside the country are advised to return to their team city on June 15th. That's right around the corner. Players currently in the United States should return on June 22nd. Now, under this timeline, the teams would begin testing their players for the coronavirus on June 23rd, likely every other day. The teams would then undergo a 2-week training camp. Now, this is going to be interesting how they do this, because not all the teams are going to arrive in Orlando at the same time. Arrival times are going to be staggered to reduce the risk of infection, but the dates are tentatively scheduled to arrive between July 7th and 9th. I love that they have these dates written down on the calendar. This is, it's like, why the NHL is dragging their feet. The baseball, you know, we know what's going on there.
Right.
But I'm looking at all this, and why can't hockey get it together? I mean, it's kind of infuriating when you see how far advanced the NBA is, where hockey's been in the exact same position. I don't know why everything's so different.
They don't have a place.
They don't have
places to go.
Like,
I think it would be more difficult in a city to come back than it is on private property. The NBA struck first, and give them credit for that. They found a place that is on private property that they can kind of control the outside influences to. And there aren't many places like that in the United States that have sports facilities you can use. So now that the NBA got theirs, it's much more difficult for the NHL to kind of find places that are safe, that have all the facilities that they need. And give the NBA credit. They were proactive and got what they needed before everybody else, but that's made it much harder, I would think, for the NHL to get anything done.
You know that dude, Keith Smith, who we had on, who is the one who first threw out there the Disney World suggestion and was kind of laughed at first, and basically should be the one who's credited for the NBA going there, because I think they reached out to him and said thank you, and since then, this has kind of been the talk. It's almost entirely because he threw that out there. You know, he's unemployed right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you read Twitter, yeah, you're very aware of that. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean,
he's not above begging for a job.
I don't blame him. Like, I mean, at this point, I'm like, hell yeah. You know, maybe the Celtics could use a guy like that to be
he's
a concierge.
He's never
going to
be more
there.
Popular than he is right now.
Yeah.
I would beg for a job, too.
Listen, he might have, his suggestion, as you said, John, might have saved this season to the point where, look at how tough it is, as you said, for the NHL to do this anywhere else. And he was like, hey, there's a place where you can control a lot of these problems right here at Disney World. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it just happened to be he worked there and knew a lot about Disney World. But listen, it was a great suggestion.
Yeah,
so.
He played Goofy for several years. And he knows his way around.
Now he knows his stuff. So upon arrival, all the team members will be tested and then quarantined in the rooms for 36 hours. So you're going to have to stay there. Can't leave your room for that amount of time. Daily testing will follow the quarantine period. The league wants to use the saliva mouth swab in place of that one where they jammed the big swab into your brain. And if a player tests positive, they'll need to quarantine for at least 10 days. And have two negative tests before rejoining their team. The same is true if a player leaves the Disney World campus. So, I mean, the temptation, you know, to go down to Orlando.
I mean,
and
yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be – I wonder – I bet there's, you're going to get one story, at least one story, where someone's just not going to help themselves.
As someone who lived in Orlando for 4 years, I can only tell you of the – of the pull of the nightlife there.
Just
it's
think,
unbelievable.
Think about it. In a world of TMZ and cameras everywhere, there is going to be a morning during the playoffs where some important player on, like a really important sixth man on some team, all of a sudden there's going to be a picture of him at some nightclub or some
Church
strip club.
Street Station, baby. You can't resist it. I mean, the pull of Dueling Pianos night is going to really get to you.
Maybe he wants to go to medieval times there, you know?
Well, listen, that's more of... outside of Disney. I'm talking about just straight downtown Orlando.
I can just have this visual of Marcus Smart belting out, I Will Survive.
Sure.
Well, he wouldn't be the only one.
No.
I played five times a night in Church Street Station. Two
that
for one
Lucille.
Jack and Cokes on Mondays, by the way, at Church Street Station, Dueling Pianos.
Hell yeah.
Well, very full with Jack, too. There's never been a stronger pour than the two-for-one Jack and Cokes that they have for you.
But if they leave and they're busted, they have to quarantine for at least 10 days and then get a negative test twice. So, I mean, you could have a negative test, but you still apparently have to sit out for 10 days. I mean, there's going to be a situation. Just write it down. Mark it down. Someone is going to have a picture of them taken out at some nightclub in the middle of Orlando, and they're going to have to miss an entire round, probably, of the playoffs. So as far as gameplay, here's the schedule. July 31st, you got your first game of this quote-unquote regular season of eight different games that each team is going to play. August 16th and 17th is going to be that play-in tournament, if there is indeed going to be one, between the 8th and the 9th seed to see who ends up getting in. First round begins August 18th. September 1st, second round begins. Conference finals September 15th, and the NBA finals on September 30th. The last possible date for a Game 7 during the finals is October 12th. Now remember, the one cool thing that the NBA is going to do is those dates right there are fluid only towards being earlier. So if a round ends and it's like a four-game sweep on both sides of it, like say the Eastern and Western Conference finals, it's like four and five games, they'll move things up to get it done, which I like, and they should do that anyway, but I understand how TV contracts and things are. I love this is a get in and get out type of scenario. They've got it set it up perfectly. The draft, tentatively scheduled for October 15th now, and free agency expected to begin October 18th. There's almost no time to even breathe during all this. And as we learned yesterday, the players said they weren't cool with starting next season on the proposed December 1st date, so it sounds like we're back to looking at Christmas. Hell yes, let's go. I'm so glad that this is, I mean, when you see actual like dates right here, it just it gets you excited. And I don't know, John, I have not heard, it's been almost radio silence for a week now, on what the NHL is doing. Like, I've heard no info other than they're in phase two, which just means that you can, a couple guys can skate at the facility, right?
And then, yeah.
Like captain-led practices. Other than that, I've heard nothing more, no advancement to where this is going to be other than just rumors that it's Vegas and Columbus, and that's it.
I haven't heard anything either. And I've, as you guys know, I follow Pierre LeBrun, who is really one of the better insiders, a great follow. He writes for The Athletic up in Toronto and has written for ESPN. He tweeted out yesterday, right now, tentatively, the NHL players and owners are still targeting mid-July for the beginning of training camps. And training camps would be 3 weeks long. We were talking to Ty Anderson last week about this. I think the NHL wants kind of a three-week training camp before they start play somewhere. So you got to figure they're still on track to begin at a facility to be named later in early August at this point.
You know, right. Someone on Twitter makes a good
practicing,
point.
If they're practicing, that tells me that they're going to play. I mean, at least they're practicing.
Well, no, some players are, Fred. And the other part of it is the NHL hasn't negotiated phase three or four yet. They're in phase two, and a lot of players are still staying away. Some are participating. I saw the Las Vegas Golden Knights had, you know, six or seven players into their facility yesterday. But there, some players are still staying away until they know exactly what the future is, like the NBA is put together.
I'm wondering, right. somebody suggested Lake Placid.
Yes, I saw that too. I think they only have like three rinks up there, though. And two of them are Olympic-sized, and one of them is NHL-sized.
They're only using three basketball courts during the thing down at the Wide World of Sports in Disney World.
Does that include team practices? I mean, remember, we had people call in and say they held AAU tournaments there all the time, and there are multiple courts with multiple games going on. I mean, I think legit Lake Placid, which would be perfect because it's out in the middle of nowhere in northern New York State, but I only think they have three rinks total for 22 NHL teams or 20, however many NHL teams there are. I mean, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, we now have the real story behind that infamous FaceTime call of Mike Vrabel to Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, where he was sitting next to Jimmy Fallon and they were laughing at whatever basketball game they were at. We have Mike Vrabel's side of the story.
Well, Jimmy Fallon laughing?
Hey.
I got to hear about that. I mean, the man is very stoic. All right, so we'll find out about all that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. Ben, line one. Ben, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer Fred. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm just out there, you know, trying to make people do stuff.
I have 723 burner accounts just to follow you and be influenced on a regular basis. So thank you.
That's a good thing to do.
Welcome back to the great state of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I was wondering if you would be able to provide us with perhaps a rating or an overall summary of how young, sickly, nearly dead, covered in his own feces, Nicholas did, taking care of Senorita Fluff, Mademoiselle Muff.
I will tell you this, is that the Fluff was kind of indifferent in our coming home. And so I would say that Nicholas did a good job. I mean, the fluff obviously felt cared for, because usually she'll go, meow, and then, like, walk away and, you know, in protest for several days. But she was just right up there on the counter. I saw her today, and the fluff seems to be in good spirits. 21. I mean, she can legally buy alcohol, so I think that that is a part of her demeanor. But nonetheless, Nicholas, who I raised his daily rate to $20, which is going to set me back.
Hey!
Going to set me back some cash. So he's got to be honest about how many times he came over. I mean, that's just got to happen right now. Because I have a security camera in the house, and I can go back and check. So if I feel the need, if I feel like I'm being grifted.
Are we talking about total times or actual days he went?
Well, why would he go more than once a day?
Okay. I didn't
know. Is that what it is? Is the expectation a once-a-day thing with the cat?
I think, Nick, and you can even just nod to Dan. Nick, you did not go every day, right? Like, you skipped Sundays. I know at least one Sunday you skipped.
Fred, he is saying, no, he went every day.
Interesting, because I know he didn't go one Sunday.
Check the tape.
How do you know? The camera didn't pick him up on Sunday?
No, it just, he told me he wasn't going one Sunday.
Oh.
Because him.
He's very put off by the camera, by the way.
Interesting.
But by the way, yeah, and also, you know, because we missed our flight. The day we were supposed to go out. And so the next day he came over with his fiance.
Ah.
They were going to case the joint. Did Young 60, Nicholas, take a look around? Did he want to see what was doing in the house?
He's nodding yes.
So he did. He walked around the house.
Okay. He's two rooms away, and I, of course,
just thumbs up or thumbs down, no, Nick. This isn't hard.
Yeah, John, okay. You can see him too. He's yelling into a microphone that I can't hear when I turn my microphone on. So. And he's very prepared. He doesn't have headphones with him or not. And now
we should make that microphone work. I think I'm using that microphone when I come back.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
We should make that microphone work so he doesn't have to just scream into nothingness anymore.
All right.
Now, are people back at the station? Are there salespeople and what have
no,
you?
No, I haven't seen any.
It's only on air, right?
Yeah, it's on air staff.
There's some management is coming in during the day. Now, obviously, we're not supposed to, quote-unquote, socialize or hang around after, you know, for long periods of time.
That's right.
Because of the sort of shift and change. So I don't know, you know, obviously there are people that probably come in during the afternoon or later in the day, you know. Here's Nick.
Right. Nick is in studio
Hi.
Now.
Hi. Hello.
All right, so, Nicholas, you did not take a look around the house?
No. Like, in your bedrooms or anything? No, I didn't go in the second...
On the third floor?
On the third floor, yeah.
Where you had to change the litter box?
I did. I was up there, but I didn't go in anywhere in the second floor.
Now, did you see my Sam Darnold signed helmet?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. You have a lot of action figures.
Well, I was given like 1,000 of those. What are they called?
Marvel characters?
Action figures.
Pewter figurines from the bottom of the Dungeon Master's shop.
I have Oyo Sports. They sent me about 5,000 Oyo Sports things. If you want to call them action figures, I call them friends. but I have that. I have an MF Doom. I have an Assy McGee. Mm-hmm. I have the Ray Ferraro bobblehead from when I first banged my wife.
Yeah, that's sentimental, though.
Yeah, we'll see. But I have the football that Jonathan Kraft gave us. Were you marveling at all my baseball cards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could say that. Sure.
Were you making fun of them?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a baseball card kind of guy, so.
Fred, don't let him get in your way. I completely respect that. Completely respect the baseball card thing. Absolutely.
You didn't like my Wesley Walker and Al Toon cards?
I didn't even notice them. Were they on the table? Were they on your desk?
No, they're in a massive frame.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, okay. I missed those. I'm sorry.
They're on my desk. Yes, they're on my desk.
Okay.
All right, Nicholas. I mean, if you don't appreciate, you know, what I bring to the table, I guess that means that, you know, we're not simpatico.
I guess not. But Yeah. Apparently she likes me, so. I'll figure out what how many days I went over there.
Did she come down? Would she come down and just scream at you for food?
Yeah. Yeah, she would meet me at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then she would scream for food.
Yes, she would scream for food.
All right. And she just looked at you as a way to get food.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like she was overly fond of you.
She liked me. I don't know. She was a great cat. She's a great cat.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed taking care of her.
A cat of great distinction, you could tell.
Yes. Absolutely.
From her modeling days. All right. All right. Rich, what do we have coming up? No commercials here, just the headlines.
Oh, well, let's get to some of this Vrabel stuff and the interesting times with the New England Patriots.
Very good. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.